Hello.
I shifted the balance of the sun and the moon, but stuff still happened. So what's up?
I'm gonna talk for a while about polygraphs and what polygraphs are. Spoiler, it's not an org chart for a polycule. The Department of Homeland Security in the United States recently announced that they're going to start doing a polygraph lie detector test on everyone in the agency to try to find who leaked information to the media. There were two planned raids by ICE in two different cities that were leaked, and they were like, well, we don't like that. We don't like it when people know where we're planning to try to storm to find people to round up human beings and ship them elsewhere. I don't like that. I'm the government and I don't like that. And so yeah, they're systematically attempting to go through and find leakers slash essentially create an environment where it's too dangerous to be a whistleblower. You know, doing that thing where you keep our government honest by alerting your countrymen when there's a danger from within, but anyway, I'm going to talk about polygraphs. Specifically, what are they? How are they used? Are they allowed to be used this way? Can the government do this? Can the private sector do this? It's not very specific. I'm just listing off all of the questions. I guess what I'm trying to say is, this is an interesting subject, and there's not a lot of info that is digestible, so let's dig in. So first, let's start with a fun little history factoid that I learned during this research. The first attempt at figuring out how to do lie detection that we know of comes from China. Way, way, way back. They believed, with some actual evidence, that there is a link between lying and being stressed, and a link between being stressed and a dry mouth.
Huh.
And so they had a method where, before they questioned someone, they would say, hey, put this dry rice in your mouth. Now answer our questions with the rice in your mouth. After they were done, you'd spit out the rice, and if it wasn't wet enough, you're a fucking liar. Get out of here with your dry ass mouth. I don't want to hear nothing from that sandpaper tongue of yours. Anyway, we moved on from rice in the mouth to the squiggly lines. It's much better, except not really. The polygraph. It was invented by John A. Larson in 1921. Probably brother to Brie Larson, if my timeline is correct. It's called a polygraph because it graphs multiple things about a person. It doesn't graph how cute you are, though. If it did, that would be a constant 100. I'm in a weird headspace. I don't know. Among the thing measured are your respiratory rate, your pulse, blood pressure, sweat gland activity, and any like muscle tremors that you got going on. The idea is that they track these things and they get like a baseline, and then they ask you questions and see your physiological reaction to the questions to determine if you're lying to me. Because you're a liar. Now, if you ask the American Polygraph Association, they'll tell you that it has an accuracy up to 95%, which sounds pretty good until you remember that you just asked the American Polygraph Association. Look, every hobby is valid, but that's just like, I can't think of any, like that's boring as, come on, you guys. Yeah, the American Polygraph Association has a lot of reading material and scientific studies that seem really good. All about how great polygraphs are, and not a lot of dissent. So when I was researching this, that just covered the vast majority of what I was finding when I was trying to find non-biased information, was the biased information. So I dug a bit deeper and found there are competing studies that are outside of the influence of that association, or really any international polygraph association, that puts the efficacy rate closer to 50%, which is half of accurate. It's about a coin flip. It's exactly a coin flip. Now, what's the actual number? We don't know. It's not a hard science. It has a lot of flaws built into the system, from the person giving the test having to properly interpret the results to the person taking the test having to not have an anxiety disorder. If you have an anxiety disorder, that might cause you to be nervous and might either ruin the test or show up as a false positive. And then you've got potential bias in the interviewer. If you're doing the interview and you don't like the person, you might be a little biased to interpret their results differently. Of course, people who are skilled with a polygraph, which is a really interesting sequence of words, they have worked to try to push past this. They're trying to be reputable. They're trying to do the best job they can and give you that 95% accuracy number. But there's really no way to be sure. Because of this uncertainty, polygraphs are often not permissible in court. At least civilian court. It is permissible in military court and in public sector stuff in general. There is a law on the books. It is called the, where'd I put it? Found it. It's the Employee Polygraph Protection Act of 1988. I probably could have just
Probably could have just figured that one out myself. But basically, this law says, hey, employers cannot use a polygraph to hire people or fire people, and cannot subject their employees to a polygraph unless the employee agrees and maintains consent throughout. This does not apply to the public sector or government, so the NSA, CIA, and FBI all require a polygraph test as a part of their security clearance process. I have a computer science degree, and I went to school at a place where a lot of defense contractors like to try to pluck off new grads, so I had a lot of friends who were getting security clearances. The number of times I've told some random dude on the phone that, like, my drunk friend from college probably doesn't have any connections to the Chinese government, it's off the charts. But I'm well aware that a part of that, a very normal part of that, is a polygraph test, depending on your level of clearance. This is just standard. It's just normal. It's a little weird. I don't know why we're still doing it, but it is. So is lie detection complete bullshit? No, not necessarily. It very well could be that a skilled polygraph examiner is able to suss out most of the time if something is a lie or not with most candidates. That's possible, but there's not a guarantee. So at the end of the day, this is legal. There's nothing really out of the ordinary here. It's a bit weird how they're using a polygraph to essentially just scare a bunch of people en masse, but that's what government organizations do when they want to seize control. I think the main takeaway here is that this current administration, which claims to be a very transparent administration, still has a lot of reasons to keep the populace in the dark. They are very loud and angry about leakers. And I've heard the arguments saying, oh, well, there's legal channels to blow the whistle. They should have used those methods. That was really popular when Edward Snowden came out with his whistleblowing. People were like, he shouldn't have done that. He should have gone through the proper channels. Now he's just made a mess. I would argue two things. If the mess is primarily that the citizens are upset because they found out the government is spying on them, that's not really his fault. And I'm not going to defend Edward Snowden and every single thing he's ever done. But I will say that a legal channel for whistleblowing is not the best option if you're blowing the whistle on the people who make legal channels. It's the same thing as, like, oh, I don't want to go to HR and cause a stir because HR exists to protect the company and so on and so forth. Recall that if someone's blowing the whistle and taking that big of a chance against the American government, they're probably doing so because they can't sleep at night with whatever information they've got. Cool. Yep. Hello, dear person. Thank you for being here. I'm going to plug my stuff real quick. We've got more things to talk about, but I'm going to talk about me. First of all, I would recommend you head to skh.news and you can sign up for the newsletter for free, or you can support me with a $5 or $10 paid subscription. That support really, really, really does help, and I really dearly appreciate it. Thank you all so much. That's also where you'll find more information, all of the sources that are linked to everything, and just generally stuff. You can also head to merchfrom.dev and browse the various items I have for sale on there. All sorts of stuff from reasonable to unreasonable. And of course, as always, I absolutely understand that money is not wonderful for a lot of people right now. So at the very least, just sharing this content, it helps a ton. Thank you. Moving on. Policy. A Fox News host, a domestic abuser, an alcoholic, and the United States Secretary of Defense walk into a bar. The bartender says, hi, Pete Hegseth. Yep, I woke up again today, and somehow Pete Hegseth is the Secretary of Defense still, which is concerning. What's also concerning is that he has reportedly ordered the Department of Defense to cease all offensive cyber operations against Russia. I want to say right here that the Pentagon has denied this report. Believe who you want to believe, but let's just entertain that this is true, and he is pulling back from cyber operations against Russia. Holy damn, there are cyber attacks happening constantly between major state actors. The big ones would be the United States, Russia, China, and North Korea, and South Korea, and Australia, and the UK, and Japan. There's a lot of countries doing a lot of cyber. They're all cybering. But these are state-sponsored hacks. These are not your average, oh, just change your password and protect your data. I'm talking about targeted attacks against infrastructure, shutting down hospitals, taking entire energy systems offline. That is what cyber attacks are. It's not stealing your datums. Now, of course, the DoD has defensive cyber operations as well, but as the old adage goes, the best defense is continuing to pay a bunch of trans femme people in network security to go after hacker groups in foreign countries. Yeah. Shout out to the, like, 98% of network security infrastructure engineers who are trans. We see you. But for real, we have already been hit with massive attacks. There's this huge attack that's been ongoing with an investigation going into it called the Salt Typhoon hacks. And they've been targeting major infrastructure, and the Trump administration just dissolved the board that was looking into it. So I don't know what's going on with the US and their cyber command right now, but they're seemingly just giving up, or at least they're doing something. But I am sorry if you are an international listener. This is a very US-centric episode. Here's the thing. I like doing foreign news coverage. I really, really enjoy it. But my home country is on fire. Literally. Alive. So anyway, the United States is 1 week from the government shutting down. Again, we really like doing this. We really like waiting till the last possible second to pass a bill to keep the government open, because it lets the parties just point fingers at each other. And that's just good for everyone. There have been a ton of government shutdowns recently, ever since Reagan, who had 8 shutdowns in his 8 years of presidency. It's just been a lot of them. And at the very least, if we're not shutting down, we're getting down to the last minute. The United States Congress has to pass a budget. And if they don't, the government doesn't get paid, so they can't operate. Doing this usually results in a much higher bill for taxpayers, because the government being shut down is deeply expensive. During Trump's first presidency, we saw the longest government shutdown in US history at over a month, 35 days. And we're now careening towards another shutdown, but this time the Republicans own all of the US government. So where we're at right now is the Republicans have just drafted a bill that contains a bunch of hard no's for Democrats. They know that the Democrats are going to fight back against this bill, but they also know that there's not much time left to do anything. So if the Democrats go after this bill, the Republicans get to be like, ha, see, look, they want to shut down the government. It's not our fault. Despite being in power, there are also Republicans who actively want to cause a shutdown because they believe that the government bad, and so we shut the government down, and that's going to somehow be good for everybody. And like, I get it, but that's not how any kind of logic works. And unfortunately for us, we are not senators. And so if the government shuts down, we deal with that, unlike them, who still get paid. So I want to be clear, this is not a Democrat or Republican thing necessarily. I mean, it's wavers back and forth, but it's always this. It's always both parties trying to find a way to frame the other party as the reason that the government's about to shut the fuck down. And y'all, this is the one thing that you have to do is fund the government. I fully believe that if the United States government shuts down, all sitting members of Congress and Senate should be fucking removed. If you cannot keep the government open, then what are you doing collecting a paycheck from the government that's closed? Anyway, moving on. Let's talk about Gaza and what might be next for Gaza. So after Israel did the war crimes that every country except for the United States and Israel agrees are war crimes, Gaza is in a really bad way. It's essentially unlivable right now. It is covered in rubble and munitions. It needs external aid if it's going to get back on its feet. It's an entire population of people who have been through some of the worst conditions in recent memory, but there's a plan. Egypt has proposed a plan to essentially install an interim government of experts and international peacekeepers who can oversee the transition back to getting Gaza up and running. This plan has buy-in from local Arab leaders as well as European leaders. It does not have buy-in from the United States and Israel. The United States has its own plan from Trump, who almost definitely was told by Benjamin Netanyahu that if he supports removing all of the Gazans from Gaza, then he can have it. And so Trump keeps talking about how he wants to take Gaza, demolish it, and build essentially a beach resort. Because he's Trump, of course that's what he wants to do. He wants to call it the Riviera of the Middle East. I'm shocked that he doesn't want to call it Trump Town. I have seen what happens when Donald Trump has too much influence over a municipality. It's called Atlantic City, and it's hell on earth. Anyway, the last thing that I'll say about this is if you look at a map, the US is not particularly close to Gaza. Gaza also doesn't have a large contingent of United States supporters living there. And so some common criticism of Trump's plan is that it sounds a lot like ethnic cleansing and conquest. Maybe because of all the ethnic cleansing and conquest that it includes. Gaming, hell of a pivot. I did not order this well. Anyway, this past week we got confirmation that there is going to be a Tony Hawk 3 and 4 remake. We got the Tony Hawk 1 and 2 remakes a few years ago, and it was fucking amazing. If this is anywhere near as good as that, I am so hyped. I am a longtime fan of Anthony Hawk's professional skateboarder. Do you like a funny card game, but also want to feel a lot of feelings? The developer of Balatro, Local Thunk, recently posted a bit of a timeline of the development of the game that's got the good, the bad, the ugly, and the amazing. It's genuinely a wonderful read, especially if you're a creative type who has a lot of experience in having a million projects and not having a good time seeing all of them through. Couldn't be me! But for real, it goes into everything from why he was making the game to begin with to what it was like to launch a game like this and have a single day of your life completely pivot everything that you know, as well as the struggles, running into anxiety attacks and not understanding them. It's a really great post. I highly recommend it. It's linked in the newsletter. I will also make sure that it's linked in whatever show notes, description stuff. Lightning round. If you lost your sense of taste or smell from COVID, there may be some hope. There is a new procedure that has started in the UK that is showing some pretty promising results. The Department of Justice in the US is going to investigate companies that supply eggs, given how high the prices of eggs are. I'm sure there's just no other thing that we could be looking into. Over 30 guards at a juvenile detention facility in California have been charged with staging gladiator-style fights among the kids who are in prison there. Tucker Carlson interviewed Sam Bankman-Fried, the guy who was at the center of the whole FTX crypto implosion. That guy's being locked up in a prison that actually also holds Diddy. So he did the interview with Tucker Carlson and during the interview called Diddy a nice guy. But now he's in solitary confinement because it was not an approved interview. It was seemingly just a publicity stunt to try to get Trump to pardon him. I don't know. Weird play, dog. Some guy in Florida swallowed $770,000 worth of jewelry that he stole. He was trying to hide the evidence from the cops as he was being arrested, and he was just like, whoop! They x-rayed him and found it. He also was heard saying, I should have just thrown them out the window. Like, my guy. I should probably mention this guy has like dozens of warrants in like multiple states. I don't know, man. Try a different line of work. A SpaceX test launch exploded and it made debris fall all over the Gulf of Mexico. And finally for today, Stonehenge's archaeological cousin might actually be older than Stonehenge. There's a prehistoric monument in the UK called Flagstones, and recent research shows that it might actually be older than Stonehenge, which might also mean that it could be the blueprint that was used for Stonehenge, or like the first try. We don't know for sure. There's a lot more work to do here based on that. They now need to double check the age of Stonehenge and figure out what's really going on here. But yo, history zagging on us.
Hi, hello. Jump scare merch. Couple things that I wanted to include in this episode that happened like while I was recording / producing. So here we go. The first is Canada has a new prime minister. They've replaced Justin Trudeau with Mark Carney, who used to be their big bank boy. He ran their central bank, and he's got some fighting words for Trump. He was like, Canada's is not up for grabs. Stop it. It's the same party that Trudeau was, so don't expect a seismic shift. The second thing is that federal ICE agents have arrested a Palestinian protester at Columbia University. His name is Mohamed Khalil, and he was involved in some of the protests at Columbia University that were pro-Palestine. He is here on a green card, married to a U.S. citizen who is 8 months pregnant, and ICE has abducted him, and we don't really know where he is. He is here legally. They had no reason to arrest him. He has his papers. He's here legally. But Marco Rubio, the Secretary of State, is now saying that the U.S. will start revoking green cards of people they don't like. So if you use your right to free speech to protest something that the U.S. government disagrees with, they are now signaling that it doesn't matter. Even if you're here legally, they'll do paperwork to make it so that they can hold you hostage somewhere while your 8 months pregnant wife tries to figure out where you are. So reminder, ICE are the Nazis. This is the government sending in federal people to abduct people, not even just illegals, quote unquote, which are a reminder, it's not illegal to be here as an undocumented citizen. It's not illegal. It is a civil offense. That's it. All right. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of Stuff Keeps Happening. Head to skh.news for sources, bonus content, and my schematics for how I built Stonehenge. My name is Endeavorance. I'll be back on Monday. Take care and be well.